The reality comes from the U.S. Census that delivered figures that shows that the worst levels of poverty in the U.S. are now with us, worst since 1983. 15% of Americans currently live below the poverty line. For an individual, that's $11,100 a year. For a family of four, $22,000 a year or less. Joining us now is Barry Schwartz, professor of social theory and social action at Swarthmore College, author of The Paradox of Choice and co-author of Practical Wisdom, The Right Way to Do the Right Thing. David Shipler is also with us, Pulitzer Prize-winning author of The Working Poor, Invisible in America, and The Rights of the People, How Our Search for Safety Invades Our Liberties. David, good morning to you.
Good morning.
David, do you believe, even with these numbers, 15%, that the people in poverty are invisible in America in some sense? And if not, what's the trigger? What's the threshold of them becoming more visible?
Their invisibility, I think, depends in part on the fact that many of them actually do have jobs. They're very low-paying jobs, but they're in work that we see every day, the cashiers at the supermarkets, the people who stock shelves, the people who wash cars, and so forth. Their wages are very low, but they wear their jobs like a bit of camouflage, because in the United States, we believe that if you have work, then you should be okay. If you work hard, you should prosper. That's the American dream. So I think that in that sense, they're invisible because we don't see them as poor. We don't see them as whole people. We see them as people providing services to us.
That's David Shipler, Pulitzer Prize-winning author of The Working Poor, Invisible in America. Barry Schwartz, there's a sense that when poverty gets too high or income disparities get too wide in a country, that somehow there's a kind of a run for the pitchforks moment. But in fact, doesn't history tell us that poverty is more likely to detach people from political action rather than urge them into the streets?
Well, I don't know that there's a uniform historical picture that we get. I myself have been quite astonished that there hasn't been any movement of people to the streets, since we have seen it in other places. I've been scratching my head about it to try to explain it, and the only explanation I can come up with is that what is unique about the United States is that when something happens to us and we ask, why did that happen, what's the cause, the default, the automatic place we look for an explanation is us. It's something I did or something I didn't do. I didn't get the job because of me. I didn't get the date because I did something wrong with the woman I was asking out. In Europe, for example, there are other models for explaining things that are based on their long history of social class as a determinant of your trajectory in life, and I think because of the power of the labor movement. So in Europe, people look for structural explanations of their own states, and in the United States, it's always about me. So the economic downturn is a sign that I did something wrong, and the way to fix it is for me to do something different.
Barry Schwartz, you know, I'm wondering if we go along with the idea that the poor are to some extent invisible, many of the articles that I've read have supported that to the extent that they don't really separate out categories of poor, working poor or any others. And it struck me, these U.S. Census numbers, that in fact, the extreme poverty rate, that official title among women especially, is the highest ever recorded. I mean, at this point, 17 million women living in poverty, and many of them single parents. So that means the child poverty rate is at its high, among its highest in the nation's history.
And the question is what? Why aren't people?
Well, I mean, do we have to separate out who the poor are in order to address the problem? Do we have to kind of address this type of working poor in one way and another type of poor in another way?
I don't think so. I think actually what you want to do is bring them together. I think what you need is a kind of solidarity among people who are suffering, working or not working, and that's what's missing. The only hope I see for people actually to get angry in the way that they should is for some public person to speak forcefully and bring these people together.
Give the poor a voice. That would be the event that could catalyze social action. Barry Schwartz is a professor of social theory and social action at Swarthmore College. David Shipler, before we go, Listen to this comment from a listener. We've asked listeners to weigh in on these statistics. And one listener from Ponca City, Oklahoma, texted us this. I think we care as Americans, but I also think we are becoming tired of situations of cyclical poverty that seem to be perpetuated by a dependence on welfare benefits. Why has the proliferation of poverty not increased the awareness or understanding of economics in the United States when you can hear essentially a myth from the 1970s restated over and over again?
Well, for a couple of points should be made. First of all, the categories that you're looking for don't really exist because people move in and out of work. They, you know, may be on welfare for a while, but under the 96 reforms, there are time limits now, so welfare is not really a major factor. Food stamps are the main benefit that people are getting now. They're not sufficient to feed kids. One of the problems is housing costs, which if you don't get housing subsidies, require you to pay 50 to 70% of your income for housing. Now, that's not a choice. You have to make that payment. You have to pay the electric bill. You have to make the car payment. If you do have a job, you probably need a car. And what the part of the budget that gets squeezed is for food. There's a high correlation, according to studies, between the lack of housing subsidies and underweight, malnourished children. So malnutrition among kids is related to housing problems and the lack of housing subsidies and the insufficiency of government housing programs. So I think if you connect the dots, as we've been urged to do in fighting terrorism, if you connect the dots among the problems of poverty, you see the interactions and you see the problems magnifying one another. Instead of separating people into different categories, what we really need are gateways into umbrella organizations that provide assistance over a broad range of people's problems, because you know, no family has only one problem. They may come into an agency with that particular problem, but in fact, there are chain reactions from that problem to others, to others, to others.
Certainly,
so that's the issue,
it's terrifying to see how you describe food as a discretionary spending item in families and the effect that can have on people. David Shipler is a Pulitzer Prize-winning author of The Working Poor, Invisible in America, and Barry Schwartz is a professor of social theory and social action at Swarthmore College, talking about that 15% poverty rate in the United States. I'm John Huckenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage on The Takeaway is supported in part by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, WKKF.org. The Takeaway is produced by WNYC and Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.